is a Jay Sekulow breaking news. Ahmed Khan Rahami's father told authorities in 2014 his son was a terrorist.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
We are also looking at these three trips that Mr. Ahmad took to Pakistan and Afghanistan, three separate trips. And when he came back, reportedly had radicalized upon his return to the United States. This is such a classic scenario where radicalization takes place when they come back, and yet it's not reported to authorities.
Just minutes ago, a law enforcement official confirmed details of a notebook found with the suspect. We now know it includes mention of Anwar al-Awlaki, the Yemeni-American cleric who has been a source of inspiration for terrorist attacks.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Until basic questions are answered about how communities coexist, the embers of extremism will continue to burn, countless human beings will suffer, most of all in that region, but extremism will continue to be exported overseas. And the world is too small for us to simply be able to build a wall and prevent it from affecting our own societies. And surely Israelis and Palestinians will be better off if Palestinians reject incitement and recognize the legitimacy of Israel. But Israel recognizes that it cannot permanently occupy and settle Palestinian land. We all have to do better as leaders in tamping down rather than encouraging a notion of identity that leads us to diminish others.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. We got the latest for you on the situation with Ahmed Khan Rahami. His father told police in 2014 his son was a terrorist. 2 years before the attacks, this is 2 years before he went on this bombing rampage in New York and New Jersey. This is what is so unbelievable. Rahami's father told the police that his son was radicalized, was a terrorist. It prompted a review by federal agents. Separately on Tuesday, another official said that when Mr. Rahami was captured during a shootout with police, he was carrying a notebook that contained writing sympathetic to jihadist causes. That's not any great shock. But what is a shock is, again, you have somebody that was targeted. His family did the right thing, apparently. He said, right now he's saying, we actually are getting the sound right now. 2 years ago, I told the FBI and the police my son was radicalized, yet the FBI, for some reason, didn't have the evidence to make an allegation here, but my goodness, he should have been on a watch list, and he was not.
Yeah, all these individuals, what we find out, have had run-ins with law enforcement. They've shown violent behavior. He stabbed someone before.
Yes.
He had illegal weapons before. So he's been in the system. He's been through the grand jury process. They're filing lawsuits against law enforcement officials claiming they're Islamophobic. And then his father, 2 years after that, because that was in 2011. So 2 years later, he's reporting his own son as a terrorist.
Well, here's why. And let's get, Logan, I'm going to get some social media response on this right away here before we go to the break. But let me tell you why. The father made the statement about his son being a terrorist to New Jersey State Police in 2014 when Mr. Rahami was arrested after a domestic dispute and accused of stabbing his brother. The information was passed to the Joint Terrorism Task Force led by the FBI. Officers opened what is known as an assessment, the most basic of FBI investigations, and the interviewer and the interviewed father then recanted later. Well, that shouldn't have mattered. The father recanted. Who cared? He said he was a terrorist. You should have acted like that. All right. Logan, what kind of response are we getting on social media? And we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110.
A lot of shock. A lot of comments of people who are just, blown away by this news report. They said also reports came out early on that the father had no idea about it. So
yeah,
we're finally hearing stories come out. The truth obviously always comes out days later, so a lot of information coming through.
We are getting you that
information. People are just genuinely shocked.
Yeah, well, they should be, because this is, I think, a failure in our intelligence. We got to take this stuff seriously. Somebody's reported as a terrorist. I don't care what the subsequent statements are. Oh, I didn't mean it that he was really a terrorist. That should not be enough to close the file. All right, we've got a lot to talk about in this broadcast. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Today is the day. Our book, Unholy Alliance, is out in bookstores everywhere. And available on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, wherever you get your books. You can go to unholyalliancebook.com and get a signed copy. But we're going to find out the number where we are on the Amazon list. We'll get that to you when we come back from break. We want to get that into the top 25 or so. So again, Unholy Alliance, the book is out. Logan, let people know how they can talk to us and get in their comments.
That's right. Phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. Or you can join us right now, Facebook and Periscope. Just search for Jay Sekulow. You'll find us broadcasting live there now and during the breaks.
It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com. Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Welcome back to the broadcast. We've got breaking news, and that is 2 years ago, the father of the terrorist, Ahmed Khan Rahami's father, told police, including the Joint Terrorism Task Force in 2014, that his son was a terrorist and unfortunately was not placed on any of the terrorism watch lists. This is, I think, a major problem within this. This is exactly, we were talking during the break, Jordan, that this is exactly what happened in Orlando. Tham was saying that, too, that this is exactly what happened in Orlando, where you had someone on the screen, Omar Martin, and he just slips through the cracks.
Yeah, exactly, and they've become more and more radical. They've either had contact or they've made these foreign trips before. They're using, in this case, fairly in New York and New Jersey, sophisticated devices, not impossible to make on your own, but likely that you received this training in Afghanistan. Likely when you go
where
into
was
Taliban
Afghanistan
strongholds.
For a year in Pakistan for a year.
Yeah, if you go into Taliban strongholds, they will likely, that's where you've learned at least the rudimentary elements of how to put together these devices. But yep. I think we see constantly the warning signs, and even
and
here
no
a situation
action.
Where family did self-report,
yep.
which is exactly what the Obama administration keeps telling us.
But
that
then they didn't
happen.
Do anything with it.
And that's because ultimately it's Muslims.
Right.
And I think that it goes against so much the narrative.
Yeah.
I mean, when you see Hillary Clinton comment on this, and again, we're told by all these people, don't profile, yep. don't look into this issue.
Every crime's profiled.
Everything is profiled, and we know that there's a group. They are between 18 and 40 years old. They are men. They're from the Islamic world. Most of the time, immigrant families to some extent.
Yep. This was naturalized. Yep.
Omar Mateen. Same situation, Afghani father.
Right.
You know, but spent most of their life in the United States, and they make trips or something clicks, and they certainly go from maybe being problematic people to religiously motivated problematic people.
Well, and here's what you've got. It's a radicalization that took place evidently in Afghanistan and Pakistan. Now, again, this was somebody's fan that should have been on the radar screen. We should have known this was happening. He was self-reported, which is exactly what the president wants to say happened here, although we're going to play something with the president's timeline on this to show how touchy he is in just a moment. That's breathtaking in scope. What is the reaction now in D.C. on this?
Well, I think the reaction is that the FBI dropped the ball. They failed us here, Jay.
Yep.
But you know what? Honestly, a lot of it just points back to the top. Listen, they're missing all of the warning signs.
Every
and Jordan
time.
Laid out the travel to Afghanistan. Clearly an obvious warning sign. But I just want to say this to our listeners. There will be attacks where these people do not travel overseas. And this administration will tell you that if they can't find evidence of communicating with radicals overseas, then it's not terrorism. That is ridiculous. ISIS and others are telling these radicalized terrorists to kill where they are. They have already given the directive. We do not have to establish the communication to draw the obvious conclusion that terrorism is happening on our soil, and it's going to increase if we follow this administration's narrative.
Well, this, you know, you keep talking about narratives. This administration is so out of touch. I mean, so out of touch with what's going on that I want to play for you. Let me lay out a case here. This is how out of touch the Obama administration is on this. At 11:12 a.m. yesterday, there was initial reports that through social media that there was an active shooter situation in Linden, New Jersey, next door to Elizabeth, New Jersey, where the authorities had been seeking Ahmed Rahami. They just heard, this is a quote from Twitter, just heard three rounds of shot. This was shortly before 11 a.m., adding that the police had urged residents to stay indoors. This was somebody's post. Cops just yelled outside and said, there's an active shooter. If you're in Linden, New Jersey, please stay indoors. I just heard three rounds of shot. Breaking News Network then said a service that monitors police scanners reported at 10:50 that a police officer had been shot, but that the extent of their injuries were unknown and that one person was in custody. At 11:20, Fox News breaks in with a breaking news alert, which states that there are reports that a suspect has been apprehended is in custody. That was at 11:20. At 11:23, the President of the United States of America lectures the press, and this is what he says.
The investigation is moving. In the meantime, I would ask that the press try to refrain from getting out ahead of the investigation.
Really? Let me finish this. The press getting ahead of the investigation? How about this? Mr. President, catch up to the press. Catch up to all of us that have analyzed this situation. You are telling everyone to not draw conclusions while your FBI and Joint Terrorism Task Force was apprehending Rahami, the guy that did this, the terrorist that did this. So here's the problem. Start with the proposition that this is always terrorism and then work back to see if it's not. But don't start with the proposition it's not and don't jump to conclusions as you're lecturing the press.
I mean, I think there were two things here. One, it was shocking. I would say this was just before we went on air yesterday, and I remember talking to the team here, can you believe the President of the United States, we said this on yesterday's broadcast, got up there after we'd already gotten our news alerts on our phones. So it was, yes, it was already on TV.
Yes.
There were already written news reports about this. So it wasn't like just some person on Twitter saying they saw this. It was literally already formalized by the media. It was confirmed. And no one told the president, no one around him, that means, before he spoke, including Comey.
Right.
Within those
How
minutes.
How did the FBI, you think about that for a moment.
They would have stopped his speech.
Of course.
Yeah, they would have said, don't let him go up there. Because I thought
I just spoke to the FBI director.
Yes, I thought he was going to say right then. I thought he was making an unusual move by Obama, which was almost to get out ahead of it and announce it before the UN really formally began.
A lot of comments coming through. This is from Damiris, who said, what a huge misstep from our government. How are we supposed to feel safe? The misstep word seems to be the most common phrase going on right now. This is the most blatant disregard of information. That's from Karen. And then what will it take for our leaders to wake up to the threats we face from Sue? And a lot of people talking about the failing of the FBI in these situations.
You know what? When you got your commander-in-chief doing this, I'm going to play that whole bite for you, everybody, again. I'm going to lay out the evidence of the incompetence of the Obama administration on the war on terror. Here it is. Let's play the entire bite.
I want to say a few words about the explosions that occurred here in New York City and New Jersey and the other device that have been found in New Jersey. I've been monitoring the situation closely and receiving frequent updates from my team, and I've just been briefed again by FBI Director Comey.
Who obviously didn't tell you what happened, and that while you were on the screen in every household in America that was watching television, on the lower third of the screen, they were running Rahami, who was apprehended.
Yeah, and you notice, too, the president doesn't want to acknowledge that they were utilizing the media
to
get his picture, because even though they use this new brand-new alert system on people's phones in the New York and New Jersey area,
they
do not have the technology to attach a photo yet. So they still had to rely on the more traditional media.
Yeah.
And they use social media as well, but they flash up a picture of a guy named Ahmed Rahami, who has got the beard. You know, it's the whole, he fits the profile of the Muslim that we're not supposed to be concerned about when they walk by us, right? We're not supposed to report that kind of guy. That's bad.
And you notice
the president, he's lecturing the media while the FBI and security and police are telling the media, put this picture out for the entire country to see, to look for this Muslim guy who meets the profile of every single other Muslim guy that we've had to capture or kill.
Exactly.
And the idea that we have right now that this stifling of the press, we talked about it yesterday, that we shouldn't be reporting these things is insane. I can't believe that we're actually hearing these words, whether that was from John Kerry earlier in the year or just a couple months ago, a couple weeks ago, or from the president saying we need to not make sure we don't get out in front of this. This is why we have 24-hour news for a reason. Yeah, we have the internet. We have access thing. You can't keep something in a bottle. If they didn't report it, guess who will? Everyone on Twitter. Yeah. All of my friends who went down to the site took pictures.
Yeah, sure. So you said that this, if you thought that if this happens right before the debates and the election, this turns the election.
I think it absolutely can. I think that if it's now they have to play it right. As you play, I mean, to get political, they have to make sure that the verbiage used comes off as strong and not as
bigoted.
Yes, exactly. So if they come off that way, then I think whoever wins this argument wins.
Go ahead, George.
Right now, I think it's clearly going one way.
You do have to remember that any strong language will be considered by the other side on this issue as bigot. They will still call it bigoted. You're going to hear that term a lot. You may not even hear Islamophobic as much because I don't think people mind that these days.
Right.
I mean, I think Islamophobia, people are like, okay, I get that.
Right.
Why you're concerned about this group.
Sure.
I mean, a concern about a specific group is maybe justified in this situation. It's a little different than homophobic or something like that. And so I think that, but Hillary Clinton's going to use these bigger terms, bigoted, racist.
Well, Stan, let me ask you this. I think this does not play. She has come off again very poorly in this. And then you got the nonsense with CNN ending out the word bomb 2 days ago. This is playing very poorly for Hillary Clinton.
I think she's got almost no chance, Jay, of separating herself from the foreign policy of the Obama administration because she's been at the forefront of it. I look at it this way politically, Jay. I think the American people look around and they know what's happening. They see their neighbors dying. They see the threat on our homeland, and they are desperate for a commander-in-chief who will show strength and who will defeat the threat. Now, it's an open question on who that candidate is, but I think this is, for the first time in our history, Jay, going to be the number one issue on voters' minds when they leave the ballot box. I think they will say that. I think it will surpass economic issues. This will be the number one issue.
All right, we will take calls and comments when we come back from the break, but we need you to do something right now. Today is the official day of our book launch. Right now, we're number 119 on Amazon. We really need to get that up into the top 25. We're number one in national and international security, number 86 at Barnes & Noble, number one on terrorism on Amazon, and number one on Russian former Soviet Union. But we need to really see the book break into the top 30 to 50 or so. So what we need you to do, if you haven't ordered your copy, get it today. You can get it at any bookstore. There's an ebook available. It's hardback as well. There's even an audiobook. So you can go to UnholyAllianceBook.com and get the links right there. Or just go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble. If you want a signed copy, you go to UnholyAllianceBook.com. But it's out in every bookstore today. So we encourage you to get it. Absolutely pick up copies. Get some for your friends. And this is obviously the start of from now till Saturday is our chance to get this. And if we get it on those bestsellers lists, remember, folks, we then get it into a lot more hands and a lot more people are reading what really needs to be done to counteract exactly what we're dealing with today. So again, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda, Iran, Russia, and Jihadist Share for Conquering the World. That book is out today, and we encourage you to get copies.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in the centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
The phones here because we got a lot of you calling. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Yep. Logan, who do we have next?
Robert's calling in Maryland. You're on the air.
Hey, Robert, go ahead. You're on the air. Thanks.
Yeah. Hi, Jay. Hi, Jordan, and also Logan. I wanted to ask you a couple of questions very quickly, Jay. The first question was, is what does the United States government have to do to protect the homeland from any further radical terrorist attacks? And also, do you believe that one of the reasons we're having such a hard time protecting the homeland against radical Islamic terrorist attacks is because of the infiltration of the Muslim Brotherhood into various agencies of our government that have convinced our elected officials and government agencies that radical Islamic terrorism that's based on wanting to establish Sharia law is not a real problem?
Well, I mean, I think here's what you've got. You've got, I think those are good questions. Number one, the way to attack jihadist terrorism is to attack jihadist terrorism. And you've got to actually do the attack, which means something Trump said, which I think is correct, and that is you have to cut off the oil supply. The oil supply is where they're getting their money from. And you got to end the caliphate. You end the caliphate. The problem is once you've ended the caliphate, the enthusiasm for the movement dwindles significantly quickly. That's number one. Number two, with regard to the Muslim Brotherhood, I was in New York City yesterday. That question, Robert, was asked of people like who were there, Don Rumsfeld and Ambassador James Woolsey. They were there at this meeting. And that question came up about the Muslim Brotherhood. And it's not just the Muslim Brotherhood. It's the Council of American Islamic Relations. All these groups that kind of paint a false picture of where the Muslim world really is. Because you know where the majority of the Muslim world is? They're not with the terrorists. But when you've got 10% that are, that is a gigantic number. And if we are getting tip-offs to the FBI and not doing it, and then the president takes to the podium at, this is at the United Nations, and takes time to attack Israel. Now, this is as these terrorism attacks are happening. And the president takes time out of his speech to attack the Jewish state. I'm not, you cannot make this stuff up. Do we have that bite ready? Let's go. This is the president of the United States.
And surely Israelis and Palestinians will be better off if Palestinians reject incitement and recognize the legitimacy of Israel. But Israel recognizes that it cannot permanently occupy and settle Palestinian land. We all have to do better as leaders in tamping down rather than encouraging a notion of identity that leads us to diminish others.
When did these become Palestinian lands? I mean, when did they become Palestinian lands biblically? So theologically, when did they become Palestinian lands? When did they become Palestinian lands legally? And when did they become Palestinian lands in an act of war? Or was it the Arab armies that went after Israel and lost? Let's not forget this. The president, again, with his the word of the week narratives, is absolute nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I think this goes into the conspiracy theory that, because he sounds like a very polished leader from the Islamic world.
Yes.
To be honest. I'm not, this is not President Obama.
Logan, monitor the, hold on to social media
now. I'm not saying he's a Muslim. I'm saying he sounds like the most polished of their leaders, making that case against Israel, and kind of doing it amongst the speech. It was very down, dark, dull.
Depressed.
You can almost say dull.
Yeah.
You know, where he's talking about the economic issues. Well, I mean, that's not what's driving people at this moment, not today.
Right.
And he's telling everybody the world is so much safer. We got so much unrest. And I think fortunately for the people of the world, unfortunately for many of our leaders, they can't hide this stuff from us.
Right.
We see the atrocities that now occur in the developing world that may not even be linked to the Islamic terrorism. We see all the different kinds of Islamic terrorism. And I think one of the CNN commentators said, you know, he sounds so philosophical. It always sounds like this professor. That, to me, is that tone that you hear, actually. And we know this from the Islamic world.
Right.
That's the best tone they can put forward, is to make it sound academic instead of sounding like propaganda or rhetorical style. Now, this is someone who, President Obama, is a great speaker, but he came across today in tone and sound as this You could have put in anti-American rhetoric, I think, and it would have sounded normal in his speech. And this is the president of the United States, who, by the way, Hillary Clinton is putting her whole campaign on. I mean, he's out there saying, if you don't vote for Hillary Clinton, it's like you're not voting for me.
Well, he was very clear about that. Logan, when are the comments coming in? And we'll take another call here.
A lot of people are responding with just general, again, just people are generally shocked. At this point, this person just said, Bob said, at this point, do debates matter? Haven't we seen enough?
Well, let me say something on that. I think debates will matter. I think the debates will have a big impact because Donald Trump has to appear presidential and Hillary Clinton has to appear in control of herself and in control of her policies. And, I think the debates are significant. We'll hit that quickly and we'll grab another call. I'm going to get Jordan's comment on too, though. But then I'll start with Than. I think these debates are critical. I think momentum is clearly with Trump right now. No doubt in my mind about that. The question will be, is what happens? Can those? Jordan said this earlier. The debates could become a game changer in getting her back on track. Right now, she's not. Clearly not.
Yeah, I think the first debate, Jay, is going to determine whether or not either of these candidates can take advantage of this issue. And I really think there's only one candidate who even has the opportunity to do that. It's Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton is too tied to this administration's foreign policy. She's tied to a president who took the podium at the UN, Jay, and sounded like the Secretary General of the UN, not the President of the United States. And by the way, he did that 2 days after we were attacked on our homeland. It's going to be a very difficult line for her to walk.
Jordan thinks he sounded more like the president of or prime minister of maybe Qatar. But anyways, go ahead, Jordan. Your comment about the debate.
He didn't sound like the president of the United States. No, that was the prize. His tone. I mean, that's what I was getting at. It was like someone else. It was someone outside the normal system. I mean, he's got U.S. troops with airstrikes. We're in a whole diplomatic problem with Russia. We've got not just Russian aggression in the Ukraine, but literally we have Russia taking us to task at the UN Security Council for killing Assad's troops who gas people. And though we kind of this little pitched outrage about it, the ultimate idea is that you know what the United States should be saying about that? So what?
Well,
we killed people who gas people. We're going to keep killing them. We're going to instead of this idea, oh my, we're so sorry for doing that.
Well, she said, Samantha Powers, do we have her bite from the UN where she says, really? Really? Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to get that for the next half of the broadcast because we're going to do a segment on that, folks. Stay tuned. And Logan's going to let you know in a minute how you can stay tuned. Let me say this. So we got thousands of you on Facebook and Periscope right now and millions of you listening by radio. Here's what we need to do. This is launch day for our book. So it is launched today. The book is Unholy Alliance, The Agenda, Iran, Russia, and Jihadist Share for Conquering the World. We want to encourage you to get your copy today. This week is very important. Between now and Saturday is when the bestsellers lists are determined, and we want to do everything we can to get it on those lists. So the book is out today, so you can go to your local bookstore, or you can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or unholyalliancebook.com to order a signed copy as well. But again, it's in the bookstores today, and we encourage you to buy this book. Really important that you go ahead and buy this book, and we're going to ask you to do that for us today. So again, the book is Unholy Alliance, a hardback. It's available also as an ebook and also an audio CD as well. But again, get it today. We're asking you for a favor on this because we've got 5 days here to get this onto those various New York Times lists and the Publishers Weekly list and the Amazon list. So this is the time to do
it. And I think, again, why that's important when we think about the impact of Rise of ISIS specifically is that for this initial buy, if people go out there and purchase the book, and then we're able to make those lists, we're able to educate thousands more people who then see it and say, okay, I should check this out. So you're actually helping us educate people at a time where, I don't know if they can go back to me for those watching on Facebook and Periscope, but we're also going through this questioning here of, in our own country, do we want, and they're on the cover of Putin and Rouhani, these kind of more of a strong man figures, powerful leaders in our own country to deal with other powerful leaders. I think that is a question people are asking themselves right now when they're making up their mind about Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton has said more of the same.
Yep.
Donald Trump is coming at it from a very different perspective.
All right,
we'll be right back shortly. If you don't get the next half hour of Jay Sekulow Live, you can do it right now. Just go over to Facebook, Periscope, or ACLJ.org. I'll have the video feeds. You can watch it there. Audio only at ACLJ.org. You can get it archived later on the ACLJ app.
It's
It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now, wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now, online, at unholyalliancebook.com.
So here's what we know. We know that the suspect who is now in custody, Ahmed Khan Rahami, was actually reported by his father to the Joint Terrorism Task Force 2 years ago as a terrorist. He was interviewed and nothing was followed up. And of course, then he did the horrible acts in New York and New Jersey, which could have had much more devastation than they did. But his father reported him. We also know that the president lectured the press, the American press, saying, don't jump to conclusions on the issue of whether this was terrorism, while at the lower third of the screen, the FBI and the Joint Terrorism Task Force, the New Jersey State Police, were in a shootout capturing Rahami. So all that was taking place. You're talking about a president out of touch with reality. While he was saying, don't jump to conclusions on terrorism, we were capturing the terrorist. So you know what I tell the president? You know what would be a good idea? How about this? How about, Mr. President, you go ahead and you catch up with the media, because you're way behind the eight ball on this. All right, let's go ahead and start taking some phone calls.
All right, let's go to Linda on line two in Falls Church, Virginia.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, Jay. My dilemma is that we don't have the will in the United States under the Obama administration or on a future, if Hillary wins her administration, to do anything about this, because the only thing... My question was going to be, what can we do about this? But the only thing I can see is the willingness to deport people who might be dangerous.
Well, here's what you got to do. First, don't let them in. I mean, let's start with the presumption. First of all, I said change that paradigm, Linda. Change the paradigm. Assume that all these acts that take place are actually acts of terrorism, and then work backwards. That's number one. Number two, look, we got to find out who's here, what they're doing here, and if they're overstaying their visas, out. And then you've got, I didn't even get a chance to report this yesterday, Jordan hit it a little bit, 800 at least, 800 people that were to be deported from countries of suspect issues, in other words, countries that are under our microscope because of terrorism activity, were granted citizenship by mistake. So the bureaucrats don't get it. So what you've got to do is actually engage the enemy, and that's what we talk about in our book on Holy Alliance.
I think also unleash our law enforcement.
Yes.
Unleash them. You see how quickly they can get the job done when finally the federal government tells them, okay, go out and if you need to, shoot this guy. They can find him. They can find him. They can track them down, and they can put them into custody. Listen, we have law enforcement. They were shot at immediately. I mean, they are recovering. One's out of the hospital. One should be released today. But these people were ready for a fight to go out in a hail of bullets. Right. If we unleash our law enforcement, if we unleash our Border Patrol and the ICE officials, they have the people ready to deport.
Sure.
They have, but the federal government has to let them deport them. They can track down these terrorists, but they've got to stop saying, oh, don't focus on Muslims or Islam.
Now, Than, you've got, and we are getting information. As I said, I was with James Woolsey yesterday and in a meeting with Ray Kelly, the New York Police Commissioner, as well as Donald Rumsfeld at this particular symposium I was at. And the evidence of overseas communication now is becoming very clear with him. But they said that's a constant pattern. Again, assume that they're not acting by themselves.
Well, this is an administration that says you have to have that communication to be a threat, and we know very clearly that ISIS has issued an open directive to those they are not communicating with to kill where
right.
they are. So it's a link that we don't need. And, Jay, I would just say very quickly, there are two choices for addressing this threat. We heard the first one from the president of the UN today. It's one of globalism, open access to our homeland and attacking our allies. If we choose that option, our country is about to get much more dangerous.
We
need to choose the one that you lay out in Unholy Alliance. It's one or the other. We can't have both.
Well, that's why we wrote the book on Holy Land. Let's get a comment, and then we're going to say we're going to take action on the book.
Cheryl just had a quick question. Why can't these 800 people who got citizenship now be revoked citizenship and
Cheryl,
go through the process?
How about you're absolutely correct, and why didn't we prosecute them if they engaged in immigration fraud? Two people have been prosecuted. Two people have been prosecuted for this fraud on the American people. And the FBI accountable to no one, I guess. All right, we're going to come back from the break. We're going to take your calls. As I said, the book Unholy Alliance is out today. This is a follow-up to our New York Times number one bestseller, Rise of ISIS. If you want to understand the agenda, Russia, Iran, and the jihadist share for conquering the world, get the book today. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you get your books. Help us get it to the on the top of the list. We're right now 119 on Amazon. We got a ways to go. Help us get there. Back with more, including your calls in a moment. But don't forget the book Unholy Alliance. When we come back from the break, we'll take more of your phone calls.
It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com. Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Broadcast, everyone. We're going to get into the administration's call of a... They keep using the word narrative, and I want to get into that today and tomorrow a little bit on what that means. But let's go ahead and take some calls first, and then we'll open some lines up here.
All right, let's go to Mark, who's calling on line four in New York. You're on the air.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks
Good.
For taking my call.
Sure.
Regarding, unleashing law enforcement and all of that, I have a brother who works part-time for the Camden County Prosecutor's Office. He does audio and, video forensics for them.
Yep.
And he was telling me, actually quite a while ago, I think right next to his office, there's an FBI office over there, an FBI branch. So he sees these guys on like a daily basis, really. He's gotten to know a number of them. And they've been telling me for quite a while that, they're looking at certain people, whether it's in mosques or wherever it may be. I don't know.
We've decided to tell the police they can't do, I mean, not we, but the administration has decided to tell the police they can't do that anymore. And this is part of the, part and parcel of the major problem that you've handcuffed law enforcement here in such a significant way.
Yeah, all these individuals, what we found out, even the guy, when the moment they said, and I don't know if everybody listening to this happens, but if you follow this stuff closely, and they say there is a knife attack with multiple casualties in Minnesota, I immediately knew Somali Muslim community.
Right.
I mean, now, it's not 100% when you're talking a knife attack. There are crazy people that can do crazy things that are unrelated to terrorism. That's one you can wait a second until you confirm who the person is. But the moment you confirm the person is, you know it's Islamically motivated. And yes, they're troubled people. And that's who these recruiters are looking for. They're looking for the crazy person.
Because let me tell you what, we're not profiling, but guess what the recruiters are doing?
Oh, yeah.
They're profiling. They know exactly disaffected, disappointed people that get angry in America. Life's been treating them bad. Omar Martin, Tashfeen Malik, this is how it works. So, by the way, when we say we don't profile, they do a pretty good job of profiling. The terrorists. So, all right, let's go ahead and take another call. I want to get through a couple calls here, Logan.
All right, continuing on. Let's go to Leonard in Seattle.
Hey, Leonard.
Hey, thank you guys for taking my call.
Hey.
You know, now that we know that there are serious, now that we know that there are serious missteps in this
process
over here.
Yeah.
About Rahami, you know, since his cell phone is encrypted and parts of the internet he has is encrypted, some tells me that all bets are off.
Well, here's you bring up a point. I think, Than, this is the question that everybody's asking right now is, you know, right now the media is trying to figure out, is this guy acting alone? At the end of the day, whether they're lone wolves or cell group, the only difference it makes is, are there others out there? You got to assume there are others out there, Than. And the FBI, again, this is part of no congressional oversight on this. They've got to change this narrative. I use their word, narrative.
Well, whether or not this guy particularly was acting with others or not, it doesn't really matter, Jay, because there are more out there. We know there are more radicalized. We know that ISIS is still trying to commit attacks on our soil. And listen, you look at just two facts, pressure cooker and the name of the individual. Those things were both known, and this administration was still telling us it was not Islamic terrorism. Here's the bottom line. You need a different person calling the shots if you're going to have a chance at winning this. We know the facts are there. You need a different person making the decisions.
And it's so confused, even the response between, and I think this is why when Donald Trump calls our leaders, you know, stupid, it's not so off base, because you had the New York governor saying it was terrorism. And at first he said there wasn't a link necessarily to international. Then he came back and said, okay, fine. But he immediately said, you know, if you have explosives, different than a knife attack, if you have bombs going off, unrelated to the Islamic part, it is definitely terrorism.
Right.
Because putting bombs in civilian areas is an act of terrorism.
Of course.
Regardless of what motivated that act, it is some kind of terrorism. So anybody could have made that. The New York mayor is still holding back on that designation. The head of their police is still. And you know what the sick part about it? It's because of the laws that it implicates. Yep. It implicates victims' rights laws.
And they don't
when
want
you
that.
Have acts of terrorism, which means that the city would be more responsible for a recourse to those who were injured.
Exactly.
They don't want to actually identify
issue.
This as terrorism because of the liability to the city. And that's wrong when they start making judgment calls on that.
No doubt about it. Let's take another call, Logan.
All right, continuing on. Mike in Wells, Maine. You're on the air.
Hey, he's waxing on Facebook. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Logan. Jay, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I love what you guys do.
Thanks.
I was thinking as you guys were talking earlier in the show, you know, there's quite a contrast. I believe in praying and respecting our leaders, but
sure.
There's quite a contrast between this administration, this president, and George W. Bush. I think about how he was, and he was not afraid to tell it like it was and to get right on national TV and speak up when things happened.
Right.
And I think that we need someone like that again, and I think Donald Trump will be that man.
Well, we're going to find out. This is certainly playing to Trump's strength, but let me play you Josh Earnest. This is the president's spokesperson, Mike, so understand. This is the president's spokesperson. When he talks about the war we're engaged in with ISIS and jihadists, listen to how they phrase this.
In some ways, this is actually just a war of narratives. And so we want to make sure that we're getting out our counter-narrative against ISIL. And we're having some progress, or we're making some progress.
Wait. Let's start this again. I want you to hear this again. In some ways, this is just a war of narratives. Will you tell that to the people that were killed in Orlando, the people that were injured in New York, the people that were killed in San Bernardino, the people that were stabbed in Minnesota? Was this a war of narratives? Here's what the president's spokesperson said again.
In some ways, this is actually just a war of narratives. And so we want to make sure that we're getting out our counter-narrative against ISIL.
How about this is a war of wars and act like it's a war? That's what they're missing here.
Well, I go back to the incident that happened in Syria during the ceasefire. Now, no aid actually ended up getting to Aleppo. So all of those horrible images we've seen of people who are in this disastrous situation, the aid didn't get there because of supposedly a mistake by the U.S. military. That's what they're saying, is they accidentally targeted the Syrian military instead of an ISIS target. The ISIS target wouldn't have violated the ceasefire. Targeting the Syrian military, even though they're bad, did.
Yeah.
If we can kill on accident 62 Syrian soldiers by accident.
Right.
Which led to, by the way, ISIS retaking a village.
Right.
Because we were supposed to be hitting the ISIS guys who were about to fight with the Syrians. If we can do that so quickly, imagine how quickly we could take out Raqqa and the ISIS strongholds.
No problem. Yeah,
but there will be civilian casualties.
There will be civilian casualties, but you have to actually engage in what is called a war, which is what this is. Now, here's our UN ambassador, Samantha Powers, at the UN dealing with this with Russia. This is how we're projecting ourselves to the Russians.
And they're calling this emergency meeting? Really? Imagine how often this council would be meeting if we were to gather every time the regime or Russia struck a hospital or a school.
I am sure Vladimir Putin is shaking in his boots with the strong words of Samantha Powers. Really? So we're not playing high school here. This is for real. And the Russians with the Iranians are, as we say in our book, an unholy alliance that is serious. And our response is pathetic. Now, we don't want to just talk about it here. So Jordan said something earlier I want to reiterate on the book and let him explain this. We are at a really – this is day one on the book. And by the way, we've gone from like number 113 to number 73. So we've moved up about 40 slots. We want to get into that top 25 or so for the entire week here. So we really need your help on it. But this is why – this is – you can help us educate – a lot of people right now.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I know listeners to this broadcast, you're up to speed on the kind of the news of the day. You get what's happening with Russia and Iran. First of all, always reading a book. I mean, we're talking about issues for about an hour on this broadcast. We're engaged in the dialogue with you and answering questions and discussions and breaking news. But some of that, you know, reading, putting word to paper and also taking that in, you're going to be that much more educated. But part of this also is getting this to the people who may not be listening to this broadcast every day, may not be as informed as you. And the way you do that is by getting on the bestsellers list, and then more people see it in their stores, they want to pick up a copy, and then they get educated on a viewpoint that you agree with. There will be other books about what's going on in the world, but if you agree with our viewpoint, you want people to be reading our book on it. So Unholy Alliance, it's unholyalliancebook.com. You could still order now online. I know my delivery from, I got the alert, my Amazon delivery was delivered today. You know, it's coming to the house today. So it was a same day delivery. But for those of you still, if you got Amazon Prime, you can get a couple days that way. It's also in your bookstores today. So now you should be able to pick up a copy in your bookstore. And if they don't have it, request them to get it. But you know, Barnes & Noble, again, all the options are there at unholyalliancebook.com.
Yeah.
All right. Yes. A lot of people are commenting. Just finished ordering the book. A lot of people are saying they're ordering the book. And one comment did come up from Kendra. Said, is the administration behind the news, or are they just trying to cover things up?
I think I think to use their words, they have a narrative. No matter what that narrative is, if the narrative of what's actually happening, like we're apprehending the suspect, and that it cuts against their narrative, they ignore it. And this has been the pattern for 9 years or 8 years. And remember this from John Kerry.
But if you decide one day you're going to be a terrorist and you're willing to kill yourself, you can go out and kill some people. You can make some noise. Perhaps the media would do us all a service if they didn't cover it quite as much. People wouldn't know what's going on.
I mean, this is from your Secretary of State. Logan has commented on this. I'm asking to it. Perhaps the media would do us all a service if they didn't cover it quite as much. People wouldn't know what's going on. That's from the Secretary of State of the United States of America.
Yeah, that does not sound American when it comes to the freedom of press and all of these situations that we have each and every day. The reason we have all this information is not just because of also the press. It's because of what's going on worldwide. The bombing in New York didn't get much play, but guess what? Within a few hours, everyone knew it happened.
Of course.
And personally, I like that people see the imagery of what happens when we catch you. Right. You end up on a stretcher, or you're like the guy in Minnesota, which you haven't seen the image, but your head is blown off, basically.
Right. Yeah.
You will get apprehended or killed if you do this. So don't think you're going to be able to get on the airplane, which I think is what this individual is ultimately trying to do, and flee the country. You do this, you will die, or you will die in prison.
Yep.
And so, again, folks, Unholy Alliance, unholyalliancebook.com. Get it for yourself, but make sure you're helping us by getting it to more people so that they're educated the right way on these issues. Unholyalliancebook.com. It's in bookstores today. You can go Amazon, Barnes & Noble, unholyalliancebook.com.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in the centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Able to discuss the 800 mistaken, I mean, which is so absurd to me, mistaken citizenships given to people from countries that were on our terror watch list. And we've only prosecuted two of the people for fraud. But I guess we'll save that one for tomorrow. Let's go ahead and take some calls, Logan.
Yeah, Demarius just said they ordered two copies.
So. Oh, great. Two copies of the book. Hey, a lot of you commented on Facebook and Periscope that you're ordering the book. We appreciate that. Keep that going. We've gone up about 50 slots on the Amazon list. We'll see if we can get it. Push it towards the top there. That would be
all
great.
Right, let's go ahead and take some phone calls, though. Julie in Santa Monica.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, all. First of all, I am getting your book on Holy
great.
Alliance.
Thanks.
That's a live signing on Thursday, and I'm very
oh,
excited.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think so much, it is so important who this country elects for president, because this entire false narrative about radical jihadism and
yep.
that it poses no threats flows from the president down.
Yep.
And one thing I like about Trump is that he showed he's a fighter, you know, in the primaries. And I think Americans can trust him to fight against our enemies.
Well, I mean, here's what you bring up a point, Julie, that Jordan mentioned earlier, and that is you see these pictures, which we have on the cover of our book, Unholy Alliance, which is Rouhani with the president of Iran with Putin. And you think to yourself, you know, who do you want fighting these? I mean, because look, I mean, Putin understands force. He understands power. He understands toughness. That we've created, President Obama's created a narrative and created a reality that is a weak America. And when you've got a weak, when we're weak, they're strong. I talk about that in the book on Holy Alliance. That's one of the things that's going on here in the body politic.
Yeah, it's they will start aggressive activities. It's one thing, you know, when they mistreat their own people.
Yeah.
They're famous for that. And in Russia, you've had kind of this time period we got used to where things were. They were not even able to take care of their own military. Those days are over.
Yep.
They are able now to take aggressive steps, but only to an extent. Only so much as the U.S. is letting them, because and NATO's allowing them, which is ultimately
yep.
Dominated by our forces.
That's exactly correct.
We're letting them amass troops in Ukraine. We let them annex Crimea.
And they got away with it. There were no consequences for their actions. And when there's no consequences for their action, we project weakness. When we project weakness, they project strength, even though their military is nowhere near the capability of the United States.
And then they went right into the Middle East. And
yep.
they hadn't been in the Middle East
since 1989.
The height of the Cold War
yep.
and really the fall of the Soviet Union.
Right.
And that's the ultimate. Whenever you start as a country dabbling in the most dangerous part of the world, you feel pretty strong.
Yep. All right.
Continuing on, Jason in Alabama.
Hey, Jason. There.
Hey, Jay, how are you today?
Yep.
Hey,
good.
My question is about national security.
Yep.
With the loss of the being able to call the FBI, nobody trusts anymore. Who do you call if you see anything? I mean, this is a national security.
I think you call the FBI. Look, I mean, Jason, you call the FBI, you call local authorities. That went a long way into, I got that alert at 7:54. 4 hours later, Romani was, he was captured. But, Fan, there is this distrust or at least concern that the FBI, I mean, here you got it. The father says, my son's a terrorist. This is what Rahami's father says. And the FBI and Joint Terrorism Task Force, which leads the Joint Terrorism Task Force, didn't do anything.
Well, first of all, to Jason, you've got to still call the FBI.
Exactly.
That information still has to be in their hands. Listen, in the long run, Jay, I think we need a new commander-in-chief to correct the errors in the FBI to make sure that that results in an arrest. But to Jason's point, keeping that information secure is not the right course of action. You still have to report it to the FBI. And by the way, this guy's father did.
Yeah, but the father did, Jordan, and the end result of the father did was the FBI did nothing.
No, they did not take action on it. And he was stabbing people, and they didn't take action on it. He had illegal weapons, and they didn't take action on it. So, again, these people were on the radar. They
just
were
like
not
Omar
hiding.
Martin.
They were not hiding. And they don't hide the problems that they're having because they can't. They are people who are violent.
Yeah.
You know, to take out these kind, to go in and build bombs.
And Omar Martin had a history.
Yes, they all
had interviews with the FBI and multiple encounters with the police in Orlando.
Yeah,
all right.
I just want to thank quickly Heather and also, let's see who else, Janet, Tabitha, Laura, Kevin, Jerry, a lot of comments coming in, people who bought the book. Thank you so much.
Keep that momentum going, folks, for the next, until, you know, we keep it going for a long time, but we need it at least through Saturday. Really get your friends buying it. It's really critical.
We, right, Ryan.
Like a book telethon here. Yeah,
Ryan,
go ahead.
Ryan, you're on the air.
Hey, Ryan.
Well, yes, I don't know if it's profiling, but I do feel some chilled aggression fomented by Obama simply because I do not agree with his version of democracy.
Well, look, they've targeted. I mean, they have targeted citizens that disagree. We know that from the IRS case that we won. We know that from the State Department, the way they're changing things. So this is not, what you're saying is not unusual. It's reality. Now, elections are coming up, and we're 50 days away from, it's hard to believe, was it 48 days? And the general election.
49, something like
that. And I think it's Fan Bennett, Fan, you're saying for the first time you think Trump's going to win.
Here's why, Jay. We're at war. It's a real war.
Yeah.
Jihadis, knives, and bombs. And I think the American people want someone who doesn't treat it like a magic pumpkin that's going to disappear. They want someone who acknowledges the threat and will defeat it. They know that person's not Hillary Clinton. They might be unsold on Donald Trump, but I think it's why he has that opening.
Yeah, Jordan, quickly.
Hillary Clinton had the opportunity. She's refused to change the tone. She's refused to put any blame on the administration she served. She could have, but she didn't. And she's embraced the Obama policy towards ISIS and Islamic terrorism that has failed our country
and Logan,
has failed
our
law enforcement.
And you said a long time ago that for your generation, this issue was going to be the issue.
Yeah, this is the only issue really that matters. Whoever wins this issue, to me, wins the election. And even more so than now than ever.
Yep.
Let's go ahead and try to get the last call. Chris in L.A., Los Angeles, you're on the air.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. Hey, you know, it's ironic to me that a year ago, Dr. Carson was publicly shamed for his statement on Muslims should not be running for president of the U.S. And meanwhile, I feel like you guys seem to that this administration continues to not only dumb down the American society, but numbs the American society to what's truly going on.
Well, what's truly going on is they have an agenda that is coming to an end, and they haven't been able to accomplish what they wanted. President Obama gave a defeatist speech today at the United Nations. And as Jordan said, it sounded like a speech not coming from a president of the United States of America. And that's the real problem here. And it's not a question of whether Muslims can serve or not serve as president of the United States. We don't have a religious litmus test here. But will you agree to defend and support the Constitution of the United States, so help you God? That's really the question. And if they can't answer yes to that, then they don't get to be president. But I think the reality is it's a defeated president.
Well, and we've seen in Europe what's happened when you take out the moral world, our religious, our heritage, even Judeo-Christian heritage, which the Europeans did. Guess what you end up with? After the terror attacks there, a mayor of London from the Islamic world. What do you end up with in France? They start coming forward with very aggressive laws that we would never allow in our country, where they're banning what you can wear at a beach.
Yep.
They're banning what women can wear as a religious symbol. We never do that in our country, but they're having to take these steps. You see what's happened in Germany. They have almost been taken over by the Islamic world because of their lack of clarity in who they are as a people group. And by the way, they're much more unified with their backgrounds than if we forget that as a country, if we don't have our constitution and our country as the forefront, what unites us as America? We all have different backgrounds.
The president says common values, but that it's more than common values. All right, let's do this. We are going to – I want to talk to our audience on Facebook and Periscope when we're done, so I want to hang in there. Logan, let everybody know how they can continue to get it. Then I want a few minutes to talk about the book or a few seconds to talk about the book.
That's right. If you want the show archived later on, you get the ACLJ app. You get the JSEC Hill Live podcast, ACLJ.org. And the app, by the way, available now on Roku and on Apple TV, so you can watch this show each and every day live.
All right. So Jordan's going to lay out for you right now, folks, why we need you to get the book Unholy Alliance. But it really critical. And we are moving up the list. We're already seeing that in the last hour. So this can continue with your help.
I know sometimes there are new listeners to the broadcast, but especially for those of you who listen regularly to the show, we want you to get this book, obviously, to get yourself educated, friends and family members educated, but also because you can help us educate more people. We want to make sure that people are not just hearing about these issues, but they're learning the right information. So you go to unholyalliancebook.com, purchase a copy for yourself and your friends and family, or go to your bookstore today. It's in your bookstores.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com.